Chapter 1. Engaged. On a January evening in New York during the 1870s, Newland Archer arrived at the theater. The theater was old, but New York's best families loved it. You could hear the music better than in those new theaters, they said, and they didn't want it to change. Newland arrived late because it wasn't fashionable to arrive early, but also because he liked to wait for his pleasures, and he was sure the entertainment was going to be particularly good this evening. When he opened the door to the box that he and his friends used, he saw he'd arrived at exactly the right time. The woman on stage was holding a flower and singing with great energy. Standing in front of her was a man trying to look innocent. "He loves me," she sang. Newland stood at the back of the box and looked across to the other side of the theater. Opposite was the box of old Mrs. Manson Mingott. She, of course, had become too large to come to the theater. In fact, she never left her house. On this evening, when old New York families wanted to be seen in public, she sent her daughter-in-law, Mrs. Lovell Mingott, and her daughter, Mrs. Welland. Behind these two ladies sat a young girl in a white dress, watching the lovers on stage. As the words, "He loves me," filled the theater, her face turned a warm pink. She looked down at the flower she was holding and smiled. "My beautiful girl is so innocent," Newland thought to himself while he watched her. "She doesn't even guess what this story is all about." Only that afternoon, May Welland had told him she cared, the word used by the young ladies of New York to tell a young man they loved them. He imagined himself with her after they were married, sitting by the Italian lakes. "May and I will read books together, then," he thought. "I will educate her about the world." Newland agreed with the modern view that women should know enough to be able to talk at dinners and parties. He wanted May to be beautiful and interesting to other men, but of course she would always make sure everyone understood she was his wife. He wanted May to be as full of life as that married woman he'd been in love with for those 2 years. In fact, she'd be better than that unhappy woman. While he was imagining this picture of a perfect wife, the other men arrived in the box and began to examine the audience. "I don't believe it," said Lawrence Lefferts suddenly. Newland followed where he was looking. He was surprised to see that a slim young woman had come into the Mingott box. She had expensive jewels in her hair and was wearing an unusual dress of dark blue. She didn't seem to notice that people were watching her. Mrs. Welland stood up and went to sit next to her daughter May. With a polite smile, the new woman sat in her place at the front of the box. The men turned to Sillerton Jackson, who was one of the great old men of New York. He kept them waiting, watching them for a moment, and then he said simply, "I didn't think the Mingotts would let her come here." Newland felt more and more embarrassed. The men were all staring into the box where May was sitting. He didn't recognize the lady in the strange dress, and he didn't know why everyone was so shocked to see her. Then suddenly he realized who she was, and he began to feel annoyed. Why had the Mingotts let her come to the theater? The person they were staring at was May's cousin, the Countess Ellen Olenska, who had arrived from Europe a day or two before. He knew that May had been to see poor Ellen. A private visit was right, of course, but it was quite another thing to bring her to the theater. Old Mrs. Manson Mingott, the head of the Mingott family, had always done what she wanted. Her husband died when she was 28. And when she eventually got her hands on his money, she'd built her house well outside fashionable New York. She had lived in Europe, and two of her daughters had married foreigners, an Italian count and an English banker. But this time, Newland was sure that she'd made the wrong decision. Everyone was watching the Mingott box now, but Mrs. Welland and her sister-in-law looked as if nothing unusual was happening. Only May's face had gone a little red, while Countess Olenska herself watched the stage. Her face was pale and serious, as it should be, but her dress didn't even cover her shoulders. Newland was worried. Countess Olenska didn't seem to understand that people were shocked to see her out in public, and he didn't think she was a good example for May. "So what happened?" asked one of the young men in his box. "Well, she left him," replied Lawrence. "He was a terrible man, wasn't he?" asked the young man. "Yes, the worst sort, but she left with his secretary."
"Oh, I see," said the young man, looking serious.
"They didn't stay together long," continued Lawrence. 6 months later, she was living alone in Venice and was very unhappy. That's when Lovell Mingott brought her back to live with her grandmother, old Mrs. Manson Mingott. That's all right, of course, but letting a woman like that come to the theater is not. It's certainly strange that Miss Welland is here, too," one of the men said, looking at Newland.
"Oh, I expect old Manson Mingott wanted her here," said Lawrence.
The men agreed this was probably true. The first part of the evening's entertainment finished, and everyone stood up. Newland had to show New York that he was with May in this difficult situation. He left his friends and walked round to her box. She knew he'd come to help her, and he was pleased she understood why he was there. "Have you told your cousin we're engaged?" he asked her. "You can tell her yourself," May said with a smile, moving out of the way so he could get past. Newland sat with the Countess at the front of the box, where everyone could see them. "We played together as children," she said. "You were a horrible little boy. You kissed me once, behind a door, but I was in love with your cousin." Newland was surprised to hear her talking like this. "Oh, I've been away such a long time," she went on, "that I think I have died, and God has sent me to dear old New York." At that moment, Mrs. Regina Beaufort, a niece of Mrs. Manson Mingott, walked into her own box. She gave a big party once a year. Her arrival told everyone it was about to start. She came from an old American family without much money. 20 years ago, she'd married Julius Beaufort, who had recently arrived from England and had plenty of money. Some said that the international bank Beaufort worked for had helped him to leave England. But everyone soon forgot that story. The Beauforts had one of the most fashionable houses, and New York was proud to take its foreign visitors there. You walked into the Beauforts' house on their own red carpet, into an entrance hall where servants stood ready to take your coat. Past rooms of expensive furniture and paintings by famous artists, to the ballroom, and further on, to a garden room made of glass that was filled with rare plants. Newland arrived late, and he was feeling nervous. He believed you should help members of your family if they needed it, but he was worried the Mingotts might send Countess Olenska to the Beaufort party. New York would see that as a very serious mistake. He found May and her mother in the room nearest the ballroom. Through the door, he could see couples already dancing. May was surrounded by a group of excited young men and women and was telling them that she had just got engaged to Newland. That night at the theater, Newland and May had agreed to announce their engagement at the Beauforts' party. It was not what he wanted. It was too noisy and public for such happy news. But now that Ellen Olenska had arrived, he had to protect May. Her cousin's shocking behavior might damage May's position in society. He couldn't let that happen.
He took May onto the center of the ballroom floor, put his arm round her, and they began to dance. "Now we won't have to talk," he said, smiling into her innocent eyes. "Dear," he said, pulling her closer. What a wonderful life he would have with this beautiful, shining woman at his side. When the dance ended, they left the ballroom and went into the garden room. Newland checked that they were alone and kissed May quickly on the lips. He felt that the world lay at their feet like a sun-filled valley. "Did you tell my cousin Ellen?" May asked after a while. "No, I didn't have the chance," he said. But that wasn't quite true. When he'd sat next to that strange foreign woman at the theater, he'd suddenly felt unable to tell her he was engaged to May. "Of course I'll tell her," he said. He was still worried she might come to the party. "I haven't seen her. Is she here?" he asked. "No, at the last minute she decided not to," May answered. "She is fond of dancing, but said her dress wasn't right for a fashionable party." Newland and May both knew this wasn't why Ellen wasn't here. "May knows as well as I do," he thought, "the real reason she stayed away. But I will always behave as if there is no shadow over poor Countess Olenska." The next day, the engagement visits began. First, Newland Archer, his mother and sister, visited Mrs. Welland. Then, he and May went with Mrs. Welland to see old Mrs. Manson Mingott, who was May's grandmother. Being too large to go upstairs, the old lady waited downstairs for New York to come to her. Her visitors were always surprised to see through an open door to her enormous bed. When they arrived, Mrs. Mingott was sitting in a large chair wearing a huge black dress. Her face was almost completely hidden in fat, and her tiny hands looked like two white birds on a sea of black. "You must get married soon before I get ill and die," she said happily. "I want to give the wedding breakfast here." They were in the middle of thanking her when the Countess Olenska arrived with Julius Beaufort. "Oh, sit down, Beaufort," said old Mingott, forgetting her other visitors. "Tell me who was at the party." Mrs. Welland and May were in the hall putting on their coats. Newland saw the Countess Olenska looking at him. "Of course you know already about May and I," he said, with a shy laugh. "Of course I know, and I'm so happy." She held out her hand to him. "Goodbye. Come and see me someday," she said. After they had left, Mrs. Welland said, "It was a mistake to go out in public with Julius Beaufort." Yes, thought Newland, and she should also know that a man who has just got engaged doesn't visit married women